Well, please take your Bibles and turn with me now to the book of Hosea, Hosea chapter 1. Our message series is called Famous Mothers in the Bible, and each year around this time in May, we take a couple weeks to look at some moms from the Bible. And if you've been following along in this series, you know that a lot of the mothers in the Bible are good examples. Yay, moms, right? And then some of them are not so good examples. And today we fall into the category of not so good. Today we come to Gomer, the unfaithful mother. But I pray that you'll find the positives in this message as we learn the importance of faithfulness in marriage and in life, and especially as we focus on the faithfulness of our God, especially in his love and forgiveness to us. So we're in Hosea chapter 1, and I'm going to read just by begin by reading verses 2 and 3. Would you please stand with me for the reading of God's word? Hosea 1, beginning at verse 2. When the Lord began to speak through Hosea, the Lord said to him, "Go, take to yourself an adulterous wife and children of unfaithfulness, because the land is guilty of the vilest adultery in departing from the Lord." So he married Gomer, daughter of Diblaim, and she conceived and bore him a son. This is the word of God. Let us pray, dear God, as we look at these verses and the verses following. I pray that, Lord, you would speak to us about the importance of faithfulness in our life. And, Lord, that we would learn to love and praise you as our good and faithful God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. So today's topic, it's a difficult one. Okay, well, let's just say that right up front. Especially if you've experienced unfaithfulness in your own life. And when we turn that towards marriage, unfaithfulness in marriage has caused untold damage and pain in society. And sadly, those in the church are not exempt. It happens in the church as well. And so we need to talk about these issues. We need to deal with them. If you have either sinned or been sinned against in this way, please know that God is a God of love and compassion, that God offers forgiveness and hope even in the midst of our darkest failures and disappointments. God has not abandoned you. There is a way forward. And if we will follow God's steps of confession, repentance, forgiveness, and reconciliation, and we'll have more to say about all of that, there is a way forward. I struggled with the title of today's message, Gomer, the Unfaithful Mother. Some people were even asking, was she unfaithful to her kids? Is she an unfaithful mother? Is she an unfaithful spouse? And, well, it's an accurate title. Gomer was a mother. She was unfaithful. She was certainly unfaithful to her husband, Hosea. We don't know how she related to her children. We really don't know that, although it appears she left both her husband and children behind to pursue an unfaithful lifestyle. But when it comes right down to it, our message today really isn't about Gomer, okay? That's the starting point. You know, even in the book of Hosea, it's not really about Gomer. It's about the nation of Israel and about Israel's relationship with God. And so our message today, it's really about us. And it's about God's faithfulness to us even when we have failed him. God is faithful. And so he calls you to be faithful too. There's an outline in your worship guide. I would encourage you to take that out at this time. It will help you to follow along with the message. Also room to jot down some notes. And you'll see there's basically three parts to our message today. We're going to be talking about Gomer, God, and you. Okay? Pretty simple. Gomer, God, and then you, and then us. And how God calls each of us to a life of faithfulness. Let's get started. We begin with Gomer, who once again is an example of an unfaithful spouse. Chapter 1 begins with Hosea and Gomer, but also the nation of Israel. Because remember, the story of Hosea and Gomer, this is a real-life parable of the relationship between God and Israel. Let's look at those verses we read just a moment ago, verses 2 and 3. When the Lord began to speak through Hosea, the Lord said to him, "Go, take to yourself an adulterous wife and children of unfaithfulness, because the land of Israel, is guilty of the vilest adultery in departing from the Lord. So he married Gomer, daughter of Diblaim, and she conceived and bore him a son. And when you read the book of Hosea for the first time, or maybe even the eighth or ninth or tenth time, you go, God, why would you do that? Why would you tell Hosea to marry an adulterous wife and take on children of unfaithfulness? Well, it tells us right there, doesn't it? God's purpose was to paint a picture for Israel of their unfaithfulness to him. Israel had been unfaithful to God. And God is now going to use the relationship of Hosea and Gomer to expose Israel's unfaithfulness, but also to teach them how this had affected their relationship with him. Now, interpreters differ on whether Gomer was already unfaithful to Hosea even before they got married, or whether that happened later. I read it that she was faithful at first. She wasn't unfaithful at first. She only became unfaithful sometime after they got married. And so when God was saying this to Hosea, he was simply preparing him. He was getting him set, preparing him for the unfaithfulness to come. But our passage goes on in the next verses to show really the heartbreaking consequences of unfaithfulness in marriage. Look at verses 4 through 9 next. Then the Lord said to Hosea, call him Jezreel. We'll look at that name in a bit. Call him Jezreel, because I will soon punish the house of Jehu for the massacre at Jezreel, and I will put an end to the kingdom of Israel. In that day I will break Israel's bow in the valley of Jezreel. Gomer conceived again. This time she gave birth to a daughter. And then the Lord said to Hosea, call her Lo-Ruhamah, for I will no longer show love to the house of Israel, that I should at all forgive them. After she had weaned Lo-Ruhamah, Gomer had another son. And then the Lord said, call him Lo-Ami, for you are not my people, and I am not your God. And here the consequences are portrayed through these prophetic names that God gives to each of Gomer's children. First we read, Gomer bore Hosea a son. She bore Hosea a son. God says, call this first child Jezreel. Now, the word Jezreel can mean either God scatters or God plants. When you say God scatters, that's a negative thing, God scattering. God plants, that's a positive thing. We're going to see God use it in both ways. But here it means scatters. This name was prophetic of the coming disaster that God would bring upon the nation of Israel. Why? Because they would be scattered. They would be scattered among the nations when they went into exile to Assyria. And this scattering would come about not only because of their sin, but also because of the unfaithfulness of their leaders. Jehu was one of their leaders. Jehu was unfaithful. And so Jehu's sin had a consequence for Israel. It's a reminder that the consequences of our sins impact others beyond just ourselves, and especially those under our protection and care. And when we allow unfaithfulness into our marriage, it not only affects our relationship with our spouse, but it affects many others as well. Unfaithfulness in marriage has a ripple effect that bears painful consequences for our marriage, family, children, sometimes even future generations. That's why God gives us these strong warnings against it. And so that's Jezreel. God scatters. Next, Gomer gave birth to a daughter. And the text implies that, unlike Jezreel, this child was not Hosea's. I don't know if you noticed it. With Jezreel, what does the text say? The child was born to Hosea. This time around, Hosea's left out of the picture. Not even mentioned. Just says Gomer conceived and gave birth. And I take this to mean that, yes, Gomer was faithful to Hosea at first. Jezreel was their son together. But then Gomer became unfaithful, just as God had foretold. God told Hosea, name the second child Lo-Ruhamah, which means not loved. And you go, that's a terrible name for a child. But these are terrible consequences. There are heartbreaking consequences to sin. It's a heartbreaking name. It's prophetic of God withdrawing his loving protection from Israel as the time of Israel's exile drew near. And then Gomer has another son. Once again, Hosea is not mentioned as being the father. We assume this was also a child of unfaithfulness. God said, call this child Lo-Ami. Lo-Ami means not my people. Another prophetic name, prophetic of Israel's unfaithfulness and breaking their covenant with God. God was in a covenant relationship with Israel. They were his people. They broke that covenant. God says, call this third child Lo-Ami, not my people. What do we learn from these verses? When we are unfaithful in marriage, we bring heart-breaking consequences to our marriage and family. And whether through adultery or divorce, we have broken our covenant of lifetime faithfulness that we made in our marriage vows before God and before others. God takes those vows very seriously, and we need to take them seriously too. Thankfully, and this is why I love the book of Hosea. If that was always in Hosea, I'd say that's a tough book. It's still a tough book. But thankfully, as we continue on in the book of Hosea, we learn that God can bring healing and hope even in the midst of painful consequences. And in our next verses, 10 and following, we see the great reversal. The great reversal God brings to his people despite their unfaithfulness. Picking up in verse 10. And yet, okay, despite their unfaithfulness to God, yet the Israelites will be like the sand on the seashore, which cannot be measured or counted. And in the place where it was said to them, you are not my people, they will be called sons of the living God. The people of Judah and the people of Israel will be reunited. They will appoint one leader that will come up out of the land, for great will be the day of Jezreel. And there's a prophecy there, even there, of Christ, the Messiah, coming, the one leader. And then God goes on to say in the next chapter, Hosea chapter 2, verse 1, he says, okay, we're going to change things up now. Say of your brothers, my people. Remember, before they were not my people. Say of your brothers, my people, of your sisters, my loved one. So Hosea tells us God's going to bring his people back to him. And now instead of children of unfaithfulness, they will be called sons of the living God. The scattered people of God will be reunited under one leader. And now the name Jezreel becomes positive. It takes on positive tones. They'll no longer be called not my people, not loved. They'll be called my people, my loved ones. And you read this great reverse and you go, praise God. Praise God for his healing, for his grace. Where God can step into even our worst sins or failures and God can bring hope and forgiveness and reconciliation. It's the great reversal. Let me ask you a question this morning. Do you need to reverse course in your life? Do you need a reverse course? Have you been traveling in the wrong direction? And you know that there's nothing but trouble down the end of that path. And you know you got to turn around. It's just been hard to do that. Do you need that reversal? The good news is God will give that to you. He's provided a way for you. All you do is you put your faith in Christ. You confess your sin. You ask God's forgiveness. And God will do the work. Only God can bring about the great reversal that we need in our relationship with him and in our relationship with those whom we have hurt by our actions. So that's Hosea chapter 1, all about Gomer, example of an unfaithful spouse. But now we go to Hosea chapter 2, and we turn our attention from Gomer to God, from an unfaithful spouse to our wonderful, loving, faithful God. He who is faithful to us even when we are so often unfaithful to him. And here we see that God is faithful in three ways. He is faithful in judgment. We'll talk about that. He is faithful in discipline. He is faithful in love and forgiveness. First, God is faithful in judgment. We're in Hosea chapter 2 now. Look at verses 2 and 3. God instructs Hosea, rebuke your mother. He's speaking there of Israel. Speaking here of the nation of Israel now. Rebuke your mother, rebuke her, for she is not my wife, and I am not her husband. Let her remove the adulterous look from her face and the unfaithfulness from between her breasts. Otherwise, I will strip her naked and make her as bare as on the day she was born. I will make her like a desert turn her into a parched land and slay her with thirst. Once again, difficult words, difficult imagery. What Hosea is saying here, Israel had been unfaithful to God, and she must bear the punishment for her sin. Why? Because God is a holy and just God who must condemn sin, who must faithfully execute the just punishment for sin. If God did not judge sin, he would not be faithful. He would not be righteous. He would not be just. Exodus 34:7 tells us, God does not leave the guilty unpunished. Imagine for a moment a judge who repeatedly let the guilty go free. One after another comes into his courtroom. They're guilty of the worst, most horrible things. And each one he says, you know what? Just go out. Don't do it again. And lets them go. What do you call a judge who repeatedly lets the guilty go free? Bad judge. Right? That's a bad judge. Okay? Well, God is a good judge. And praise God for that. Praise God that he is faithful in judgment. Because otherwise, you know what would happen? Evil would triumph. And people would never be held accountable for their sins. We would never be held accountable for our sins. Praise God, he is faithful in judgment. Secondly, God is faithful in discipline. In discipline, look at verses 6 through 8 next. God is still speaking about Israel and how Israel has left the way. He says, therefore, I will block her path with thorn bushes. I will wall her in so that she cannot find her way. She will chase after her lovers, but not catch them. She will look for them, but not find them. And then she will say, I will go back. I will go back to my husband as at first, for then I was better off than now. But at least for right now, God says, she has not acknowledged that I was the one who gave her the grain, the new wine and oil, who lavished on her the silver and gold, which they used for Baal. You see, God punishes sinners for their sins, but he disciplines his children in love. When you get off course in your life as a Christian, when you're walking the wrong path, what does God do? He lovingly blocks your way. He takes away any satisfaction from sinning. He brings us to the end of ourselves. Why? So that we will return to him. However, in coming back to him, what do we need to do? We must acknowledge his goodness and confess our sin. That's what Israel still needed to do. She needed to acknowledge that God was the one who'd blessed her with so much. And that she was the one who'd wasted it all in idol worship and serving the false god Baal instead of the Lord. Discipline. The book of Hebrews tells us this: our fathers disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good, that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time. Can I get an amen? Amen. But painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who've been trained by it. God is faithful in discipline. He's not going to let you keep going your way. He's going to block your way and bring you back. And then thirdly, God is faithful in love and forgiveness. And God's words in our next verses, these are some of the most beautiful words of love and forgiveness you'll find in the whole Bible. These are one of the reasons why Hosea is one of my favorite books. I love this. Think now of all that Israel did. Israel turned her back on God after all the blessings he poured out on her, after freeing them from Egypt and giving them the land and pouring out blessings, turned their back on God, turned their back on the covenant that they'd made with God, worshipped false idols, took the blessings God had given them, poured it out on their idols. And what does God say? Hosea 2, beginning at verse 14. Therefore, I am now going to allure her. I will lead her into the desert and speak tenderly to her. There I will give her back her vineyards. I will make the valley of Achor a door of hope. And there she will sing as in the days of her youth, as in the day she came up out of Egypt. Despite Israel's failures, despite all her sins, God calls to her and draws her back to himself. Verse 16, in that day, declares the Lord, you will call me my husband. You will no longer call me my master. Do you know what the Hebrew word for master is? It's Baal. That's what the word Baal means, master. Baal was a cruel taskmaster. But God will be a loving husband to Israel as he lovingly draws her back and forgives her for her many sins. Verses 19 and 20. I will betroth you to me forever. I will betroth you in righteousness, in justice, in love and compassion. I will betroth you in faithfulness, and you will acknowledge the Lord. And so despite our unfaithfulness to him, God is faithful to us. And he promises to betroth us forever. Yes, in righteousness and justice, there's the judgment and discipline, but also in love and compassion. And then God goes on to say, verses 21 and through 23, in that day I will respond, declares the Lord. I will respond to the skies, and they will respond to the earth, and the earth will respond to the grain, the new wine and oil, and they will respond to Jezreel, blessings being poured out again. I will plant her for myself in the land. Remember, Jezreel can mean planting, right? I will plant her for myself in the land. I will show my love to the one called not my loved one. I will say to those called not my people, you are my people. And they will say, you are my God. And this is part of that great reversal we saw prophesied earlier in Hosea chapter 1. And here now, finally, the word Jezreel, it loses that connotation of scattering or judgment. It takes on the meaning of planting. God says, I'm going to take you back. I scattered you, but I'll bring you back. I'm going to plant you in the land. God says, I'll show my love to those who are not loved. I will call my people those who are not my people. You see, God is faithful. He is faithful in judgment. He is faithful in discipline. He is faithful in love and forgiveness. The Apostle Paul writes in 2 Timothy, if we are faithless, he will remain faithful, for he cannot disown himself. You see, God is faithful despite our lack of faithfulness, because that's who he is. That's his character. He is our good and wise and faithful God. So we've looked at Gomer, we've looked at God, now we look at ourselves. We come to Hosea chapter 3 and the call to faithfulness. There are three things I want us to learn from these verses. God calls you to be faithful in marriage. God calls you to be faithful in repentance and forgiveness. God calls you to be faithful to him. So let's take a look at these three in closing. First, God calls you to be faithful in marriage. Look at verse 1 now, in Hosea chapter 3, verse 1. The Lord said to me, Hosea is speaking here, the Lord said to me, go show your love to your wife again, though she is loved by another and is an adulteress. Love her as the Lord loves the Israelites, though they turn to other gods, and love the sacred raisin cakes, part of the rituals and the idol worship. So God called Hosea to show love to his wife again and be reconciled to her. That is not easy. It is not easy to reconcile a marriage after a spouse has been unfaithful. Not all marriages survive infidelity. And even when a husband and wife are able to reconcile, there are still painful consequences to bear. This is why God gives us these strong warnings. He's looking out for your good. He's looking out for your best. Be faithful in marriage. God calls you to faithfulness in all areas of your life, but especially, folks, okay? Marriage. Be faithful to your marriage vows. Honor, love, and protect your spouse. Guard your heart. Guard your eyes. Guard your thoughts. Guard your actions. Be faithful. Secondly, be faithful in repentance and forgiveness. Now, we move to verse 2, where Hosea writes, so, you know, God told him, take your wife back. He says, okay, so I bought her. I bought her for 15 shekels of silver and about a homer and a lethic of barley. Apparently, in her waywardness, she'd fallen into some type of slavery and she needed to be redeemed. And then I told her, you are to live with me many days. You must not be a prostitute or be intimate with any man, and I will live with you. See, God told Hosea to love Gomer as he had loved the Israelites. even when they turned against him. Hosea obeyed God. He brought his wife back to him. Now, yes, there needed to be real change, real repentance, right? She could no longer live her wayward life. That was clear. But Hosea took her back. They lived together again as husband and wife. When you go to the end of Hosea chapter 14, we even learn more about the importance of repentance and forgiveness. Hosea 14 verses 1 through 3, we read about repentance. Hosea urges the people, return. He says, return, O Israel, to the Lord your God. Your sins have been your downfall. Take words with you and return to the Lord. Say to him, forgive all our sins and receive us graciously that we may offer the fruit of our lips. Assyria cannot save us. We will not mount war horses. We will never again say our gods to what our own hands have made. For in you, Lord, the fatherless find compassion. Notice what true repentance involves here as you look through these verses. It includes confession of sin, asking for forgiveness, turning away from the sin, and then making new commitments of faithfulness to those you have sinned against. We need to be faithful in repentance. We also need to be faithful in forgiveness. And we see God's amazing love and forgiveness in the next verse, verse 4, still in Hosea 14, where God says, I will heal their waywardness. I will love them so freely, for my anger has turned away from them. Once again, none of this is easy. It will not be easy to repent of your sin and to come clean before God and your spouse. But it is necessary if there is going to be reconciliation. It is not easy to forgive your spouse if they have been unfaithful to you. But it is necessary if there is going to be reconciliation. You say, that's too much. That's going to cost. Yeah, there's a cost, isn't there, to forgiveness and reconciliation. Remember, Hosea had to pay a price to get his bride back. But that's part of the definition of forgiveness. Forgiveness involves absorbing the price, forgiving the debt in order to reconcile. None of this comes easy. And if you are struggling in your marriage right now, I encourage you to get help. Seek the counsel of your pastor or a trusted Christian counselor who will come alongside and help you walk through these steps together. Be faithful in marriage, be faithful in repentance and forgiveness, and then finally, be faithful to God. Be faithful to God. Back to Hosea chapter 3, look at verses 4 and 5 in closing. For the Israelites will live many days without king or prince, without sacrifice or sacred stones, without ephod or idol. And afterward, the Israelites will return. They will seek the Lord their God and David their king. They will come trembling to the Lord and to his blessings in the last days. And here we find Israel at last returning to seek the Lord, to seek David their king. And David here is prophetic of the Messiah. The Messiah will come, the son of David. We find this prophecy repeated in the New Testament. When the New Testament speaks of Israel finding salvation in Jesus, the true Messiah, the true Davidic king. And yeah, all faithfulness is important. This is the most important faithfulness of all. We are called to be faithful to God. You know, in reality, that this one should have come first, right? But you know, it undergirds everything else. But it's good for us to end here as well, right? It's a good reminder that your relationship with God is primary. That all sin is primarily sin against God, even when we sin against others as well. And that reconciliation with God is your greatest need. And it is an essential first step before reconciling with others. In conclusion, God calls you to be faithful in all areas of your life. Unfaithfulness, especially in relation to marriage and God, can bring heartbreaking consequences. That's why God warns us against it. But God is faithful, and he calls us to be faithful too. The prophet Samuel told the people of Israel, 1 Samuel 12, he said, "Be sure to fear the Lord and serve him faithfully with all your heart. Consider what great things he's done for you." When we are faithless, God remains faithful. For he cannot deny himself. He does wonderful things for us. Let us praise God for his wonderful faithfulness. Let us seek to be faithful in all our relationships as well. And as we end, we've been in the book of Hosea today. I want you to flip all the way to the end of Hosea. Last chapter, chapter 14. Last verse of the last chapter. Hosea 14, 9. Which is itself a call to faithfulness. Hosea writes, "Who is wise? He will realize these things. Who is discerning? He will understand them. The ways of the Lord are right. The righteous walk in them, but the rebellious stumble in them." The word of the Lord. Let us pray. Dear God, we thank you for your word this morning. This is a tough one. This is one of the challenging messages we receive from your word. And Lord, we've all failed and sinned in many ways. We've not been faithful to you. We've not been faithful to others. Lord, some of us are walking down a bad path right now. And we need to reverse course. Thank you, God, that through Jesus, we too can experience the great reversal, where we forsake the sin in our lives and turn again to you, and you receive us back. Just as you told Hosea to take Gomer back, Lord, you will receive us back with love and forgiveness. We can be reconciled to you. Oh, Lord, I pray if anyone is here who does not know you, today would be the day they pray to receive you, Lord. Lord, if any of us here know you, but we're walking the wrong path and we're facing your discipline, we're running into thorn bushes, we're miserable, your hand is heavy upon us, and we know we need to make a change. Lord, help us to make that change sooner rather than later, that we may know the joy of coming back to you. Thank you for this word that you gave to Hosea, this word that you've given to us today. Apply it to our lives and our hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.